Advent is bifurcated. It's divided into two halves. The second half focuses in on the remembrance, the annual celebration of the incarnation and birth of Jesus now over 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem of Judea. We focus in on the proclamation of the incarnation, of the conception of Jesus in the miraculous event when the angel comes to Mary and says that you shall conceive and bear a son and you shall call him Jesus. We focus in on the birth, and we focus in on all that that means for us, the incarnation and birth of Jesus. That's the second half of Advent. That's next Sunday and the Sunday after, leading up to Christmas Eve. The first two Sundays of Advent, however, focus in on something else. If the second half of Advent focuses in on the first coming of Jesus, then the first half of Advent focuses in on the second coming of Jesus. Kind of interesting how it switches that way. We begin the season of Advent by looking towards the return of Christ, looking towards the establishment of the kingdom of God in its fruition in this world, looking towards the establishment of the kingdom of peace by the Prince of Peace. We spend the first two Sundays looking forward to that which we are to participate in the establishment of the reign of God in this broken and hurting world. How we are supposed to be ambassadors of God, ambassadors of Christ, reaching out to a broken and hurting world with the message that God welcomes all into the kingdom, and all we have to do is respond with faith, accept the grace, and step out in faith, and we can enter into that kingdom and live as children of God. The first half of Advent focuses in on where we are right here, right now, today, called to express the love of God to all, called to express and to be the real presence of Jesus for all. We live in the strange, difficult position of having both the proclamation of the kingdom of God here today and yet also still coming. The proclamation of the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus in the family of faith here today, and it is also still coming in the future. The now and the not yet of the kingdom of God. The first half of Advent focuses us in on this proclamation, on this message that the kingdom is coming and we are called to be a part of building it, called to be a part of being amongst it and within it, ushering it in by being embassies, ambassadors of Christ in this world. In the midst of this, we hear the cry of John the Baptist in the wilderness of Judea. The cry of John the Baptist when he looks and he sees the religious people of his day, the religious leaders of his day, the people who have it right, the people who have the big churches and temples and synagogues, they got it right. They've got the crowds, they've got the money, they've got the trappings of religious power and authority. These are the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the political rulers, the religious rulers of the people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He looks and he sees them coming for baptism. And he says to them, "You brood of vipers, you're just a bunch of snakes. Slithering snakes out to deceive. You brood of vipers." I'm not sure I think I would like being called a viper, being called a snake, a rattlesnake, a copperhead. I don't think I'd like being called a cobra. I think this would bother me if I were a Pharisee or a Sadducee. And quite honestly, I'm afraid had I lived in that day, I probably would have been one of these. I'd hope I'd be more like Nicodemus, but the rulers, the religious rulers of that day, these, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the people he's talking to, "You brood of vipers, you bunch of snakes, who warned you? Who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.'" That's what they're doing. Huh, look at us. We are descendants of Abraham. We're descendants of the tribes of Israel. We have Abraham as our ancestor, Abraham and Sarah. We are the promised children. We are the promised people. We are the children of God. Look at us. Look at the position we have. Look at who we are. That's what they were doing. Look at us. Do not presume to say, "We have Abraham as our ancestor, for God can raise up from these stones, from these rocks here, children of Abraham." Big deal, he says. Big whoop-de-doo. So what if you're children of Abraham? So what if you can show your pedigree going right back to Abraham and Sarah? So what if you know your line? So what if you can get on Ancestry.com and have all the dates going all the way back to the beginning? Big whoop-de-doo. That isn't worth anything more than a hill of beans to what it means to be truly a child of God. Look at what he says just before he challenges them on that point. He says, "Bear fruit worthy of repentance." Now, this is one of those messages I don't really like preaching. I've been asked, when I pastored conservative United Methodist churches, and there are a few of those, when I've pastored a conservative United Methodist church, I've usually been asked, "Why don't you preach fire and brimstone sermons?" And usually they want me to preach fire and brimstone sermons about other people, at other people, for other people, so they can sit there on the front row or the back row, as the case may be, and go, "Yeah, get them. Get them, preacher. That's right. Hit them sins. Get them sins. Come on. Shove them, push them out, get them out of the way, throw them out of the church. Yeah, that's right, that's good. Amen. I'm serious. When people want to hear fire and brimstone sermons, they want to hear about other people getting the fire and brimstone, not themselves. Isn't that right? Thank you. Come alive. That you don't want to hear fire and brimstone directed at you, do you? Nah. No. Strike them over there, not us over here. We be good. We don't need to repent. We don't need to hear the fire and brimstone. We don't need to hear about the axe coming to chop us down. We're good. This is one of those messages where when the fire and brimstone comes out, it falls right on my head. And if we're honest, it falls on all of our heads. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Let's take a look at that one word, repentance. It means to turn around, to make a change, metanoia. It means to go one direction, turn around, and go the exact opposite. It means to change. And I hate change. I like the status quo. I like things as they are. I like to be comfortable. I don't want to be uncomfortable. And change usually means discomfort. I want things to be the way I like them to be. I don't want to change. Most of us, if we're honest, we don't want to change. We like things as they are. That's not the message of Advent. The message of Advent is about change. It's about changing the self. It's about changing the self so that we can be part of changing the world. It's about changing the self into a disciple of Christ. It's about allowing yourself to be changed into a disciple of Christ so that you can then go out and participate in making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Change. It's not easy, but it's the essential focus of Advent. The change of the self to prepare for the return of Christ. The change of the world that comes with the birth of a baby over 2,000 years ago. Change, repentance. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Even now, he writes, even now, John the Baptist proclaims, even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. You may have wondered what this axe is doing there. I gave thought to picking it up and swinging it, my friends, but you know, not with my ankle today. God kind of had different plans. The axe is at the root of the trees. If you've been to Israel, you know that one of the biggest problems they've got is a lack of water. And if it's true today, you better believe it was true 2,000 years ago. Life orbited around the collection, purification, and distribution of water. Without it, you died. It was a precious commodity. And this is true now, and it's true then. Something that wastes water is something you don't want to have around. A tree that doesn't produce good fruit is wasting water. It's sucking up water and giving nothing in return. That's the image here. Let's finish the passage. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Producing good fruit is the way to avoid being chopped down and used as firewood. I don't like that. That's a fire and brimstone sermon that's hitting me right on the head. Good. Hitting me on the head too. Standing in the Garden of Gethsemane, looking at 2,000-year-old olive trees and realizing Jesus stood in the midst of these very trees and prayed for us, reminding me deeply in my soul how much, so frequently, I'm sucking up water and producing nothing. We're all called to be drinking deeply of God's grace and then producing good fruit. We're all called to be drinking deeply of God's grace, acting in faith and producing good fruit for the world to receive that good news, the message of the coming kingdom of God. We're all called to be drinking deeply of the water of God's grace and living our lives that others might see and know the presence of Jesus. If we refuse to change, if we refuse to convert, if we refuse to repent, if we refuse to follow the calling of God, guess what? There's an axe. And we'll be firewood. The good news is that Jesus came to make it possible for us to produce good fruit, came to make it possible for us to drink deeply of the grace of God, came to make it possible for us, for all people, to hear and to receive and to know and to live the life of grace and faith, to live by faith and drink deeply of God's grace and produce good fruit and be part of the kingdom of God. Not only a small group, descendants of Abraham, descendants of Isaac, descendants of Jacob, no longer a tiny little group of selected people, but instead a massive group of selected people, people who will drink deeply, live by faith, and produce the fruit of the kingdom of God. That's who we are. That's who we are called to be in this Advent season. That's who we are called to be in Christmas. That's who we are called to be in Epiphany. That's who we are called to be in Lent. That's who we are called to be in Easter. That's who we are called to be in Pentecost. That is who we are called to be throughout the entire year. A people of God, drinking deeply of God's grace, acting by faith, producing the fruit of the kingdom for all to see, to receive, to be nourished, and to live. My brothers and sisters, what in your life today needs to be rooted out? Where do you need to change? Where do you need to repent, turn around and go the other way? Where do you need to do a little pruning in your own life? Where do you need to go inside of yourself to make a change? One of the places that came to me standing at the wall in Jerusalem with my hand out on it praying the Shema Yisrael. One of the things that came to me was the deep-seated bitterness and resentment that I have towards authority. Most of you know it. In the North Texas Conference right now, we live in the midst of disagreement, argument, distrust amongst sisters and brothers in ministry who should be trusting each other. And that has produced in many of us a sense of resentment and anger. And standing there at the wall with my hand against those ancient stones in prayer, just a few feet away from where the Holy of Holies was, I felt God telling me, it was time to root that out and set it aside. Oh no, God, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I enjoy it too much. I enjoy getting together with my fellow clergy and whining and complaining too much. Sorry. And if I don't want to see that axe coming after me in eternity, that's something I've got to do. What do you have to do in your life? What do you have to throw away, give up, set aside, place on the altar? What do you need to change in your life so that God can, through you, produce good fruit? What stands in your way of walking by faith? What causes you to stumble today? Set it aside. There's no better time than the present. There's no better time than the season of Advent than to engage in change, to set a new path. I truly dislike New Year's resolutions. I prefer Advent resolutions. Places in my life today but need to change. I invite you this season of Lent, Advent. Feels like Lent in a way, doesn't it? I invite you this season of Advent to open yourself to where you need to change so that when it comes to Christmas morning, you too can see with the shepherds the baby Jesus. So that you too can see and proclaim along with the wise guys the coming Messiah, Redeemer, Savior of the world. What needs to change in you? Consider that, my brothers and sisters. Consider that as we move on through Advent towards Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Consider that. And set it before God and make a change in your life. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.